We're going to be looking at 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21, or some parts of it, anyway, this evening, this morning. And I want to think especially about that little phrase that so often gets quoted. We find it in verse 7, and verse 16. Verse 8, we read, God is love. And then it's repeated in verse 16, God is love. Now, if I was to ask you, what is God like? I wonder what answer you would give. The Shorter Catechism is question number 4, where the question is, what is God? And we read, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. What is God? He is infinite in his wisdom, infinite in his power, infinite in his holiness, infinite in his justice, infinite in his goodness, infinite in his truth. He is a great and great God beyond our comprehension. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, said the hymn writer. How can small, limited, mortal men and women like you and me ever hope to understand God? Well, we cannot understand him totally because he's infinite and we are finite. But we can know him, for he has revealed himself. He has spoken to us, and we can know him in personal relationship. And indeed, every believer has that personal relationship. We're coming to know God, the God who has said, God is love. Now, John mentions the love of God 13 times in his epistle, either as God is love or is God loving his people. You see, love is part of God's eternal being, infinite in his being. Well, love is part of God's eternal being. It's the way he is, the way he is. And that's a great comfort to us as Christians, isn't it? The God we serve is a God who loves. And so many of our hymns sing of the love of God. We're going to think about God's love because God's love is very often misunderstood. Now, Don Carson wrote a book called The Difficult Doctrine of the Love of God. The Difficult Doctrine of the Love of God. Because in our society, people tend to think of the love of God in a sentimental kind of a way. As if God's love was like the air we breathe that surrounds all of us exactly the same. One day God's love will sort everything out and all will be well. Up in heaven, if there is a heaven. You read of people speaking at funerals, or you hear, see them on the television speaking at funerals about a person who lived totally with no time for God, a wild life, died, as far as we know, with no time for God. And the speaker probably has no time for God ever. And yet he says he'd be up there in the sky looking down at us now. A sentimental view of the love of God. Or we have a therapeutic view of the love of God. God loves us, yes, and that makes us feel better. Doesn't really matter how we live. But that isn't the love of God. That isn't the love of God. You see, true love wants the best for the loved one, doesn't it? And works to achieve that best, just as I said to the children. Parental love. In our families, we love our children and we want them to grow up, to be good and useful citizens who know Jesus. And so we correct them and we discipline them. And true love disciplines. God's love is not less than man's love. Indeed, it's more. You see, to say God is love, it doesn't tell us everything about God. He's too big to be described in those three words. God is love. In fact, it's in John's epistle, in chapter 1, verse 5, there's another phrase like that. And it is, God is spirit. Or God is light, love. God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. God is light. What does that mean? That doesn't tell us all there is to know about God either, but it tells us something extra. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Light speaks to us of holiness, the holiness of God. Darkness speaks to us of sin. John says, only those who walk in the light have fellowship with God. Only those who walk in the light, away from sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. You see, to say God is light is to recognize that God is holy and that the holiness of God is seen in everything he does. It's to recognize his separation from sin. So when we put the two together, God is light, beside God is love, we rule out any sentimental notion of love. The kind grandfather sort of love. You know, don't really care how you live as long as you're happy. As long as you have a good time, it doesn't really matter. No. God's love is always side by side with his justice. God is light, God is love. God always acts in justice and righteousness. He always acts in love. We can't divide the two. We can't divide the two. There's no conflict in God between his love and his justice. Sometimes that's difficult for us to see. When we look at life, when we look at the world with all its trouble, with all its suffering, how can we reconcile the love of God with a suffering world? And yet, we must. That's not this morning's subject. But we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The God of love, the God of justice. So I want to think a little bit with you this morning about the love of God. The love of God that is an expression of his goodness. Someone has said that love, God's love is that perfection in God that makes him treat us with generation, with generosity and kindness. That perfection in God that makes him treat us with generosity and kindness. J.I. Packer wrote, God's love is a fixed determination to be kind and loving to his creatures. Well, if you love someone, you're nice to that person, aren't you? God shows his love to the whole world in being nice to the whole world. Acts 14, verse 17 tells us God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. You see, that general love that God has for the world, we see it in creation. Food, sunshine, show his kindness. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So the love of God to the world in general is the expression of his goodness and his kindness. And everyone sees that. Everyone sees that. But also, God's love reaches out to sinners. And God is holy. There is his justice. There is his holiness that cannot bear with sin. God is a purer eyes into look on iniquity. And yet, God's love reaches out to sinners. Romans 5, verse 8, that wonderful verse. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a wonderful verse. God didn't wait till we could make ourselves better so he could love us. He loved us while we were sinners. And Christian friend, when you're feeling your own weakness and your own frailty and your own failure, remember he loved you when you were still a sinner. And he could see what you were going to be, what you were, yet he loved you while we were still sinners. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not of works that no one can boast. God loves us because of his grace. It means we don't deserve it. We don't deserve his love. So often we think, people can think, I don't deserve his love. Why should he love me? But he loves us because of his grace. We haven't earned it. Grace is something you don't earn. We aren't lovable that God should love us. Usually with us, our love is a response to something in the love and the person we're loving. Their personality, their kindness, their looks, whatever. But God loves us because it is his nature to love. When he was speaking to the people of Israel, and Moses said to them, the Lord did not choose you because you were more numerous than others, but because the Lord loved you. Simple as that. He loves us. Even when we feel we've made a mess of our lives, or we've refused God too many times, God reaches out in love, mercy, and grace to the chief of sinners. No one is outside of that love. The love of God reaches out to sinners. The love of God reaches out to each one of us as individuals. Right? There was that general love that God has for all his creation. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So does the sun. That general love of God for all his creation. But the Lord reaches out in special love to us, his people, as individuals. The psalmist wrote, you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my inward being, in my mother's womb. We were known, you see, before we were born. Known by God and loved by God before we were born. Jesus reminded us the very hairs on our head are numbered. That's the sort of love it is. It's the love of the shepherd who knows his sheep. It's not a vague, general love. It's a specific love for you, for me. It's a love that reaches me, that reaches you in Christ. So you know, we can look at God and we can say, I am the reason he came to die. Jesus came to die. I am the reason Jesus came to die, because he loved me. You are the reason Jesus came to die, because he loved you. He reaches out to you as an individual. He could see us going to be here this morning in Dunfermline, this school hall, as a church. And he loved you, and he came, and he died for you. You are the reason he came to die. You mightn't feel that way, but you are. The love of God reaches out to us as individuals. The love of God is shown in his discipline. In his discipline. I've already mentioned this. In Hebrews 12, verse 5, we read, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. The Lord isn't content to let us just go our own way. You don't allow your child to touch the fire and get burned. You don't allow your child to run across the road in front of the traffic. You discipline him, you teach him, you chastise him for impoliteness or a temper tantrum. You want him to grow up, to find a young man or woman who follows Jesus. And so the Lord disciplines us. And he shows his love for us in that discipline. Discipline isn't easy. We don't like to be disciplined. We don't like to realize we're getting it wrong. And yet the Lord disciplines us because he loves us. He's not happy for us to go off on a tangent. He loves us, he cares, and he disciplines. But the love of God is shown most clearly in the death of Jesus on the cross. That's where we see that love. Human love shows itself in the way it gives itself, doesn't it? You know, a mother gives herself to her children, sometimes sacrificing years of her career, her life, to bring her children up, setting aside her career, setting aside her career, setting aside her own preferences often to bring up her children because of love. And God's love is demonstrated in what he gave. John 3:16, that verse that we all know so well. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God gave the highest that heaven contains because of his love for us. There is no greater. There is no greater. He gave the highest person to suffer and die for us. And this is love. This is love, not that we love God. Our love is weak and thin, but that he loves us and sent Jesus to die for us. That's where we see his love. And yet that is also where we see his justice and his anger against sin. Because on that cross where Jesus died, Jesus was paying for our sin. Sin matters, you see, to God. God couldn't just overlook it. He will judge sin. He will judge it. He has already judged it on the cross. But for those who refuse the Lord Jesus as Savior, he will judge it on that final day, and that penalty and that judgment will be hell. And that's why God's love is so wonderful and so important, that he loves a sinner like me. And he loves a sinner like me. The God who cannot tolerate sin, who cannot tolerate wrong, gave his only Son to die for us and reconcile us to himself. This is the measure of both God's love and his justice. The old hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, has the words, O safe and happy shelter, O refuge tried and sweet, O trysting place, where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. At the cross, you see, the God who is love and the God who is light, heaven's love and heaven's justice meet at the cross. Because that is the only way to save you, to save me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The cross demonstrates the love of God and the justice of God. Friends, how can we reject such love? Such love. The love of God is also an unchanging love. An unchanging love. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, I'm not concerned. Our love changes, doesn't it? We see the sad results of that in divorce courts across our country. Marriages begun in love and hope end in tears and acrimony because love has changed. God's love does not change. We need not fear that one day we'll wake up and he will no longer be loved, that love will not be part of his character. His love will never change. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. In Isaiah 49, 15, we read these words, can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb. Even these may forget. Yet, the Lord says, I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. See, God says, my love is stronger than the strongest love we know, our mother's love. It will not change. Can a mother's tender care cease towards the child she bare? Yes, she may forget from me, yet will I remember thee. God's love is dependable. Dependable, we sung those words, before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hand. See, written from like those verses in Jeremiah. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. God is not a man that he should change, or lie and change his mind. The love of God is dependable and unchanging love. So, you see, God's love, it's not a sentimental love. It's not the grandfather love. It's not a love that says anything goes. God's love is closely tied to his justice. Yet, the love of God is the expression of his goodness. The love of God reaches out to sinners like you and me. The love of God reaches out to us as individuals, calling us into his kingdom, touching us. The love of God is shown in his discipline. The love of God is seen most clearly in the death of Jesus on the cross. He loved us enough to die for us. And the love of God is an unchanging love, an unchanging love. Christian friend this morning, brothers and sisters, that's the love that holds us. That holds us. The love that has reached out to us and called us by name and brought us into the family of God. That love that is greater than all our sin. We can rejoice in that love. But I wonder still, is there somebody here and you're still a stranger to Jesus and his love? Then hear about that love this morning. Hear God's word to you today. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, God has shown his love to us, to you this morning, sinner friend, because he loves you before you come to him, and he calls you. Will you doubt that love? Will you refuse such love? Will you refuse the pardon and the new life that is offered in Christ to you? Will you turn away? Don't do it. Don't turn away. Come. Come. He called you. I will welcome you. He will welcome you if you come to him today. The God of love, the God of justice, calls us and is a pardoning God. And calls us to him today. May God bless his word to each one of our hearts this morning. Let's pray.